Mass. The Church, in the Introit, encourages us to confidence in God, who will deliver us from our enemies if we ask it of Him with fervent prayer. There are two favors which, during Lent, we ought to beseech Him to grant us: the pardon of our sins, and His help to avoid a relapse. Introit. Remember, O Lord, Thy bowels of compassion, and Thy mercies that are from the beginning of the world. Let not our enemies ever rule over us. Deliver us, O God of Israel, from all our distress. To Thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In Thee, O my God, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, we beg of God to watch over us in all our necessities, of both body and soul. If our prayer be humble and earnest, it will be granted. God will provide for us in our corporal necessities, and will defend our souls against the suggestions of our enemy, who strives to sully even our thoughts. Collect. O God, who seest how destitute we are of all strength, preserve us both within and without, that our bodies may be free from all adversity, and our souls purified from all evil thoughts. The second and third collects are given on the first Sunday of Lent. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians, 1, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach, nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before, and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here, the Apostle shows what manner of life should be followed by Christians, and the Church, by repeating his words, exhorts the faithful to profit of the present season of grace, and regain all the beauty of the image of God, which the grace of baptism first gave them. A Christian is a vessel of honor, formed and enriched by the hand of God. Let him, therefore, shun whatsoever would degrade his noble origin, and turn him into a vessel of dishonor, fit only to be broken and cast with the unclean into the sink of hell. The Christian religion has so far ennobled man that even his very body may share in the soul's sanctity. On the other hand, it teaches us that this sanctity of the soul is impaired, yea, altogether effaced, by the loss of the body's purity. The whole man, therefore, both body and soul, is to be reformed by the practices of this holy season. Let us purify the soul by the confession of our sins, by compunction of heart, by the love of God. And let us give back its dignity to the body, by making it bear the yoke of penance, that so it may be henceforth subservient and docile to the soul, and on the day of the general resurrection may partake in her endless bliss. In the gradual, man cries out to his God to deliver him from the evils that threaten him, and give him victory over the invisible enemy, who so cruelly humbles and insults him. The tract is both a canticle of confidence in the divine mercy and a prayer addressed by the Church to her Savior, beseeching him to visit and save her faithful children on the great feast, which is still so far off, but towards which each day brings us nearer. Gradual. The distress of my soul is increased. Deliver me, O Lord, from my necessities. See to what I am reduced, see what I suffer, and forgive me all my sins. Tract. Give glory to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who shall declare the powers of the Lord? Who shall set forth all his praises? Blessed are they that keep judgment and do justice at all times. Remember us, O Lord, in favor of thy people. Visit us with thy salvation. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17. At that time, Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshaded them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise, and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one, but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus did Jesus encourage his apostles when the time of temptation was near. He sought to impress them with his glory, that it might keep up their faith in that trying time, when the outward eye would see nothing in his person but weakness and humiliation. Oh, the loving considerateness of divine grace, which is never wanting, and which shows us in so strong a light the goodness and the justice of our God. Like the apostles, we also have sinned. Like them, we have neglected to profit of the help that was sent us from heaven. We have shut our eyes against the light. We have forgotten the fair vision that was granted us, and which made us so fervent and happy. And we fell. We have not, then, been tempted above our strength. Footnote, First Letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. And it is indeed our own fault that we committed sin. The three apostles were exposed to a terrible temptation when they beheld their divine master robbed of all his majesty. But how easy for them to resist the temptation by thinking of what they had seen but a few days before. Instead of that, they lost their courage and forgot prayer, which would have brought their courage back. And thus the favored witnesses of Tabor became cowards and deserters in the garden of Mount Olivet. There was but one thing left them to do, throw themselves upon the loving mercy of their Jesus as soon as he had triumphed over his enemies. They did so, and his generous heart pardoned them. Let us imitate them here too. We have abused the grace of God and rendered it fruitless by our want of correspondence. The fountain of this grace is not yet dried up. As long as we are in this world, we may always draw from this source, which comes from the blood and merits of our Redeemer. It is grace that is now urging us to the amendment of our lives. It is given to us in abundance during the present time, and it is given mainly by the holy exercises of Lent. Let us go up the mountain with Jesus. There, we shall not be disturbed by the noise of earthly things. Let us there spend our 40 days with Moses and Elias, who long ago sanctified this number by their fasts. Thus, when the Son of Man shall have risen from the dead, we will proclaim the favors he has mercifully granted us on Tabor. In the offertory, the Church bids us meditate on the commandments of God. Would that we might love them as fervently as the royal prophet, whose words these are. Offertory. I will meditate on thy law, which I have loved exceedingly, and I will practice thy commandments, which I have loved. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is a source of devotion. Let us, as the Church in the secret prays we may, profit by our today's assistance at it. It contains the pledge and price of our salvation, and if we put no obstacle in the way, it will complete our reconciliation with our Lord. Secret. Look down, O Lord, we beseech thee, on this our sacrifice, that it may increase our devotion and procure our salvation. The other secrets, as on the first Sunday. The penitent soul, having seen how this ineffable mystery has given her to enjoy the presence of Him who is her Savior and her Judge, offers to Him her prayers with all the fervor of confidence. She says to Him these words of the psalmist, which form the communion antiphon. Communion. Understand my cry. Hearken to the voice of my prayer. O my King and my God, for to thee will I pray, O Lord. In the post-communion, the Church prays especially for those of her children who have partaken of the victim she has just been offering. Jesus has nourished them with his own flesh. It behooves them to prove themselves worthy of him by the renewal of their lives. Post-communion. Grant, we humbly beseech thee, O Almighty God, that those whom thou hast refreshed with thy sacraments may worthily serve thee in the conduct of their lives. The other post-communions, as on the first Sunday.